Hello and welcome to episode 105 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Derek.
This week, we're doing a postmortem of net neutrality, talking about bullying and Apple's new iMac Pro. Without further ado, let's get started.
So, of course, the net neutrality vote happened this week. I guess it's technically last week when this comes out. And, of course, the net neutrality was voted down by the FCC. So that's that. This was about what I assumed would happen. Of course, everyone is very angry about this. And, you know, I'm sure people in the FCC are getting death threats, which is not good. I do not endorse that. But people are very angry. Lawmakers say they'll fight for net neutrality. Apparently, there's a thing Congress can do to maybe force the FCC to do this. There's some sort of congressional, you know, oversight for that. People are suing different states are suing the FCC. It's going to be a fun time. My guess is most of this will shake out without much actually happening. But I don't know. We'll see. There was, did you guys, there's another interesting, the way Ajit Pai went up to this vote, like the tone that he took was just mildly hilarious and tone deaf. Did you guys see the video that he and the Daily Caller made?
No.
Okay. Nope. He did this video called All the Things You Can Do Without net neutrality on the internet. And he just basically goes through it. Oh, it's cringy. Oh, it was so cringy. Including doing like a little Harlem Shake thing at the end of the video, which was it was not good. And of course, and since everybody's very angry about this vote, like the person who created the song Harlem Shake has, you know, issued a takedown of the video. I'm not sure it's available anymore, even because of that. So anyway, everybody's very angry, and net neutrality's down. There's obviously implications of this. There's not going to be anything like in the next year that's going to be like a doomsday scenario. And actually, there was someone in the Slack who brought this up, that he's very amused at all the fear-mongering or all the doomsday, you know, things around net neutrality. And of course, the point is not that what's going to happen is that suddenly all of the ISPs are going to move to, you know, immediately consumer, like anti-consumer, anti-business practices from net neutrality. But now we just have to keep a lookout. It's going to be little things here and there that are probably boring and uninteresting, and that's probably fine. We'll just keep amassing those. So we'll see what happens. That's about all I have to say on that.
Derek, I'm watching this video now, and it's got the most, like, just the best music behind it, you know? It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's, like, that's a royalty-free like song that everyone uses.
It's the most catchy. I am jamming over here to it. Anyway, I'm staring at a G-Pi. Give me all these things I can still do on the internet, and I just have to imagine that he's full of lies. I don't know, though, because he started with, some people have been upset about my plan to restore internet freedom.
Yep.
Well, okay then, sir. Tell me about that.
The rhetoric is just amazing. I mean, it always is when talking about political things, but it's just amazing, the rhetoric.
Well, the first thing I found out is you can still Instagram your food.
Yep.
Which no one wondered about.
Yeah, yeah. He said gram your food. Yeah, because that's what the kids are calling it these days.
I corrected his horrible slang.
Yep. Post pictures of kittens and, you know, have you gotten to the Harlem Shake bit yet?
No, I stopped because I couldn't hear what you were saying while he was talking. It was very frustrating. I got very frustrated with Ajit Pai. He wouldn't stop.
He wouldn't shut up.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is this something that the next administration, you know, 2020, 2024, whatever it is, could not just reinstitute?
Probably. I think the idea is that the administration in power gets to appoint someone to the FCC.
Right, to chair the FCC, sure.
Yeah. I don't know about chair, but certainly appoint to. So, but anyway, so that power imbalance, that power will, you know, come back at some point. I would assume that the next time Democrats are in charge of the FCC, that this will come back. So that's where we're at.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this. Did y'all see the young man Keaton Jones on Twitter this week? His mom recorded him after he was bullied by some kids. Seems like just senselessly bullied. He talks about having ham shoved down his pants, which is just despicable.
Yeah.
But anyway, did y'all see this video?
Yeah.
It's very tear-jerking.
I avoided watching it at first because I knew it would just destroy me, because these kinds of videos just destroy me. But then, of course, I had to do research, and it destroyed me. So,
yeah, man.
Good job.
Yeah, man, me too.
So you know yourself well.
Yep. I just felt really bad for this kid,
mm-hmm.
knowing a little bit of bullying firsthand, nothing like what he went through. But would love to hear just from y'all also, is that something that you have experience with as a kid? Were you guys bullied at all?
I wasn't really bullied in like grades, like primary school, but high school, I got a lot of stick for being a Christian. But that's nothing like this. Like I just had people telling me I was stupid and didn't believe evolution and whatever. And you know, people berated me and stuff. I did have one guy pull a BB gun on me in high school, but, we won't go down that road. He ended up, I think, in some pretty serious trouble and didn't actually make it all the way through high school anyway. So, he was kind of out of the picture, but yeah, no, that was kind of one person who was actually just a bit crazy. This seemed like more of, you know, someone who, seems like he's experienced this more than once, you know, like with more than one person on more than one occasion. I get the feeling from him, like this isn't the first time this kind of thing's happened, and he's just had enough, like he's just at the limit. Which is totally fair enough, because it's wrong, and there's no good explanation for it other than people are doing the wrong thing. So yeah, it was really hard to watch for sure.
Yeah, I've experienced bullying, ironically in church for the most part.
Oh,
because
gosh.
Well, the reason was, I mean, well, there's no good reason, but the reason being, I was the only homeschooled one in my class in my age. So all the other kids went to the exact same school. So and they were all boys. So everyone played sports. Everyone went to public school. They all had this, you know, common denominator of their group. And so naturally I was just excluded many times from, you know, kind of understanding what they were talking about, or and they would watch movies that I wouldn't watch. So I generally felt like an outsider, and occasionally that turned into bullying, but I always just felt very excluded from that group, and never really had any friends in church growing up, which was, you know, I didn't like that. So yeah, yep. My heart's very sensitive for those who are bullied.
Well, I bring this topic up for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, obviously, as you've just heard, just to say that we're with Keaton and we abhor bullying as any Christian would. Like, there's no reason for senseless violence, especially at such a young age. And we would just call it evil and sin and call those bullies to repent. And we would even say that we stand with him in our own experiences to a lesser degree, right? Of course, we didn't go through what he went through, but mm-hmm. Have been through lesser degrees of bullying, and it was still evil then as well. But also brought this up just to say that this particular video went viral. I mean, it spread very quickly, and so you had all kinds of people replying to it. So two of the Avengers invited him to the Avengers premiere, Mark Ruffalo and What's Captain America's name?
Captain America. It's just Captain America. That's all he is.
Oh, yeah, Captain America.
Yep.
Anyway, so the Hulk and Captain America, you know, we're trying to chat Keaton up, which is cool. Like, I'm glad to see people reaching out to to help the guy in as much as they can. I don't know how much it's going to actually make matters better for him, but he, it seems like we'll get to do some really cool things, which I guess is great. I'm a little nervous that it might make things worse if the bullies find out. And we obviously pray that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And then there was another set of people who replied and wanted to give their sort of spiritual religious feedback. So, you had a Tennessee football player who was encouraging him towards Buddhist practices, to, you know, so almost sort of like the mindfulness, the meditation, like, it's okay, it's going to get better, but like empty yourself and calm yourself. And it was sort of weird, just in my opinion, watching that one particular video. And there was a lot more going on. And as I was looking at some of the responses, I was just very convinced of something Alex Humphrey said on our show back on episode 26, CRISPR Theology, which is one of our favorites that we talked about a couple episodes ago in 100. He mentioned, as we were talking about CRISPR, that if Christians don't get in on this new technology and talk about it and figure out what's ethical and what's not, then the world is going to shape those views of CRISPR in particular, in his context, without us. And that will not be a good thing. Well, similarly, the thing that I noticed with Keaton is that the world is offering all of these ridiculous solutions to his problem, when in reality, we know the answer. We know that we need to call these bullies to repent. We know that what they did to him is wrong. We know that God loves him and that Jesus Christ has given his life that sinners like us might be brought to God, and that the gospel itself is actually the solution to these problems. I loved just one particular take from Dr. Russell Moore. He said, there's a lot of us standing with you, Keaton. Most importantly, Jesus loves you. And I believe the good news is that he'll get the last word on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be a lot more helpful than mindfulness, that's for sure.
Yeah. Seriously.
And I guess there's comfort as well in knowing that Jesus was, considered an outcast. He wasn't
yeah, that's
always
right.
The most popular person. I mean, he had crowds following him, but he also had people, willing to reject him and ultimately kill him. So he knows what it's like to be put on the edge, I guess, and sort of kicked out of the central group. And so it's another one of those situations where we have the benefit of knowing that he walks with us in those experiences as well.
Absolutely. We have a high priest who's able to sympathize with us in our weakness.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Very good. Well, we are praying for Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
Our sponsor this week is Missional Wear, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missional Wear prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. And what I'd like to talk about today in their catalog is their art. You have two options for this. You have posters and wall decals. And really, if you are into designs of quotes and creeds, this is where you are gonna love this stuff. You can get quotes such as G.K. Chesterton's, "Theology is simply that part of religion that requires brains." Or maybe you want to reference when Erasmus said, "When I get a little money, I buy books, and if there's any left over, I buy food and clothes." You can get these in decals and in posters, and they are all beautiful designs. Missional Wear has been making things since 2010, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian. To grab some apparel, drinkware, or accessories for yourself, or even just to browse their gorgeous designs, check them out at missionalwear.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missional Wear for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
I wanted to talk a little bit this week about the new iMac Pro, which I will be buying as soon as I can get my hands on one. No, I'm just kidding, because I don't have that ridiculous amount of money.
I was going to say, you got a cool $13,000 to, you know.
Wait, what is the price tag? Is it really 13 grand?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Holy cow.
Well, that's not the base model. We'll get there.
The base model is
5 grand. And basically, the whole idea, we'll link to a couple of articles, but the Verge one probably is the quickest, I guess, to just get overview of the specs. It's got Intel Xeon W-class processors with 8, 10, 14, or 18 cores, but they sort of recommend the 10-core model as the sort of standard, I guess. There's two different Radeon Pro Vega graphics options. It's got like a ton of ports, 10 gig Ethernet, 5K Retina screen, same as the current 27-inch iMac. You can get up to 128 gig of RAM in one of these things. The base model has 32 and 1 terabyte of storage. My iMac at the moment has, I think, 12 gig of RAM, and that was like quite big at the time when I got it. So
the
32
base
is the base
model has 32 gigs of RAM. Holy cow, yeah. No wonder it's $5,000.
And it's got a new 1080p camera and a whole bunch of other things. But basically they're saying things like it can edit full 8K footage with color correction. I don't know if you guys have ever done video editing, but as soon as you add something like color correction effects or any of those kind of image alteration effects, it usually chugs a little bit, or you have to pre-render before you can play back smoothly, or you have to drop the quality to like a quarter so that it can play back without slowing down. But they're saying it just plays it perfectly smoothly. You wouldn't even know that you'd added any effects to it. So extremely powerful. There's a whole bunch of sort of amazing things that it has installed. And the article is basically saying, fantastic computer, but as soon as you sort of go up from the base model, which is already $5,000, it just kind of jumps really quickly up to, as we said, $13,000. I think it's possible to pay for some of the upper end models. So the article is kind of saying, this is a great computer that they actually recommend that, or they kind of say that everyone will covet, but it's probably not the computer that everyone should own. And their argument for that is that it's really made for professionals. Now, we don't advocate coveting anything because that's against the commandments. But I think most tech-minded people would certainly be interested in this machine. I have, like, I do video editing stuff, and I just could not justify this kind of cost. And I guess it got me thinking, like, in terms of stewardship, where do we draw the line between, like, using resources well and, like, just having something that's gratuitous and over the top and for the sake of having something that's amazing? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can answer that in this episode, but I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this machine, and would you ever consider getting one? They're kind of saying things like machine learning and high end data processing and visual stuff like video and logic and stuff like that. So like video and sound is kind of the primary uses, but I don't know. It seems kind of crazy to me.
At a consumer level, I can't imagine anything I do that would require that much machine. At the same time, there are many things that require that much computing power. So like I was reading just this week, Microsoft released a quantum development kit. So quantum computing, I guess, is a thing that people are wanting to start doing. And so they're virtualizing quantum hardware on actual normal computers. And so the starting kit requires 16 gigs of RAM to simulate 30 qubits. If you want 31, you have to have 32 gigs of RAM. And so like things like that, which require a ton of computing power, I could see why it would be necessary, maybe for your job or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, leading up to this, there were a ton of Mac professionals that were really upset with Apple for the fact that they have not updated the Mac Pro in like 1,000 days or something. Or no, it's been longer than that. It's been just a ridiculous amount of time since the Mac Pro has even been updated. So they, of course, there was a Mac roundtable. They brought a couple of reporters in to the Apple campus like early this year to say, okay, we are making a new Mac Pro. We are also making an iMac Pro
next year, right?
Yeah. They said not 2017, so it could be 2018, could be 2019, could be 2020. I don't know. Everybody thinks it's going to be maybe next year.
Now I'm just imagining all of the vision jokes in 2020.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That was the daddiest of dad jokes.
but there's a reason why everybody was angry that there was no like super pro computer from Apple up until now. They use this kind of power. So this is an incredible machine. And yes, you can spec it up to $13,926 if you add in like their little software and like Visa Mount and get yourself a Magic Mouse and a Magic Trackpad. Oh, by the way, everything on this
black
computer...
Magic Mouse.
Yes.
A black Magic Mouse.
Everything on this computer is black and it looks,
yeah, and it
so
looks
cool.
Dope. Oh. It looks awesome.
I feel like if I had a ton of money, I would just buy this computer for the black keyboard and trackpad. Because they're so
gorgeous.
Why
wouldn't you just buy the black keyboard and trackpad, which are probably much cheaper?
You can't buy them separately.
What?
You can only buy them as part of the iMac Pro package. That's the deal.
Yeah, that it's exclusive.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. Okay, well, that won't last long.
Yeah, yep. So anyway, a very, very cool machine.
Just to get some idea of what they are using this thing for, in the demos, it says that we saw a virtuoso demonstration of 3D modeling VR. Game engines reapplied to purposes like architectural rendering where entire forests could be pasted into a giant field with no lag or loss of visual detail.
Wow.
Body scans converted from thousands of slices into full 3D models of a human body without having to wait for the computer to render anything. We watched an Apple engineer run three simultaneous iOS emulators, doing a test run on an app while running three more virtual machines, Windows 10, Ubuntu, and an older version of macOS without a hiccup.
Jeez. So
it can do a lot, but at the end of the day, they're kind of saying, this machine will do pretty much anything you can imagine, but there is a Mac Pro coming out, so if you're going to spend a heck of a lot of money on a computer, you may want to wait until the Mac Pro does come out and see if that would be better for you. Obviously, that'll be more modular and able to kind of upgrade components over time and stuff like that.
Maybe.
Easier than... Well, that's what
they said modular. They didn't necessarily say upgradable. So, whatever that means...
What is the difference between those two things, Derek?
ATP had a big discussion on that this week. If someone is interested in learning what the potential difference is, just go listen to their show because you're clearly interested in the Mac Pro. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
I guess I could see someone pushing back and saying, you can get all that computing power for cheaper, like just go build your own machine from parts on Newegg or something, which definitely is true, but you cannot get Mac OS on that machine. Well, I guess you could get Hackintosh. I don't know if they have the newer versions of Mac OS on Hackintosh, but anyway.
People are saying if you spec out this, like all the parts involved in this machine, it's similar to if you build your own computer. But you have to get Xeons. You can't just settle for i9s, you know.
I would think that they wouldn't just arbitrarily choose a really high price.
Yeah.
You'd think they would have some amount of reason, even if it is still marked up because it's an Apple product. But they obviously are trying not to lose money on this deal.
I think probably the Mac Pro is one of the more fair priced devices, I think.
The $5,000 model is one of the more fair priced machines.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I understand, though. It makes sense.
Something else we have to mention as well is that the air vent on the back is a bit bigger than the current iMac.
Yeah, otherwise it would just suffer and die from everything.
I'm kidding. That's not the most important bit of information, but I did find it funny that they bothered mentioning that in the article.
Uh-huh.
That's what people come here for, Craig. Fair, balanced,
right,
and unbiased reporting on all the details.
It's the real important bits. Anyway, that's all we need to say about that. Check out the article, have a look at the pictures, maybe drool over the black hardware accessories, and then realize that it's too much money to spend on a computer for most people. And just be wise with how you spend your money. But if you need to buy this computer, then enjoy.
Well, this week we also have a bit of really bittersweet news that I'm sure everyone listening is probably already familiar with, but a titan of a theologian and a hero of the faith has left us to go and be with the Lord. R.C. Sproul has died. And as someone who was particularly influenced and blessed by his ministry, I just thought that it would be worthwhile for us to mention and maybe reminisce a little bit and maybe even recommend if something's been particularly helpful for you guys. I'll just say it seems to me like the gateway of Reformed theology. So seeing the Bible as beautifully as it actually is a big God theology. And R.C. Sproul, his entire ministry was characterized by a big God theology, just a view of God that understands that God is about his own glory and his own fame and his own name first and foremost, and not about his creatures first. And if you want to read a really helpful and convicting and clear book on that topic, The Holiness of God is absolutely excellent.
Yeah. I was also really blessed by his teaching, some of his teaching series. Like, you can, there's so many resources of his that you can jump on to Ligonier's website or listen to RefNet or there's a Renewing Your Mind podcast. There's so many ways you can get his teaching. But I remember listening through his What is Reformed Theology series. I reckon I've listened to that at least a couple of times now. And I was saying to Ben and Derek earlier, just his ability to take these big sort of complex concepts of who is God and what is his holiness look like? What does his sovereignty look like? How does it play out in our lives and in salvation and things like that? And to explain them in ways that are just really easily understandable and using analogies that don't kind of distract from the text at all. Like he's always really scripturally based, but what he does say when he's explaining things just serves to make it even clearer. So he was a great communicator, and extremely solid in his, like Ben said, exaltation of, God as holy and as, sovereign over all things. I think he's the one who coined the phrase, there's no maverick molecules in the universe, which is something that I keep coming back to whenever people want to throw up the idea of, you know, we all have just autonomous freedom to do whatever the heck we want to do and, whatever, I think he really based his life on the fact that God is in control. And in a lot of ways, I think it's, you know, he's been sick for a while, and I'm sure he's loving the fact that he is at peace now and with the one that he spent his whole life pointing people to.
As Dr. Sproul used to say, if God is not sovereign, he is not God.
I feel like I've heard that before, like in that tone of voice. I can hear that. I'm one who I don't have. I haven't read a whole lot of the great reformers, and I think R.C. Sproul can be considered one of the great reformers now, from what I hear about him. I just don't read a whole lot. I listen a lot. And theology books are hard to listen to. So I listened to a bunch of, like more conversational podcasts about theology. But anyway, that being said, as someone who's not very, very familiar with R.C. Sproul, if you could give me like three books, to read that would like be a good representation of his work, what would you say? You said The Holiness of God.
Yeah, that would be the first one. The second would be, well, I don't know if it'd be the second or the third, but one of them would have to be Chosen by God, which, if you're not a Calvinist, is a hard read, but it's eminently biblical. And so I would just exhort you, wrestle with what the man says, see if it's in the Bible, and if it is, believe it, whether you like it or not.
Yep,
that's good. Another one that I've got in my library, I haven't read it yet, but I think it's pertinent for our culture today, is called Choosing My Religion, and it's kind of tackling the whole idea in our culture of there's no such thing as absolute truth and relativism and what that means for religion and belief, and particularly in, I guess, our generation of sort of younger people. And so that's one that I think will be helpful in tackling that kind of secular culture of, you know, we don't need Christianity, everyone could just have their own sort of truth, and postmodernism and stuff like that. On a practical level, I think that's going to be a helpful one.
Looking forward to reading it. That's good. And the third one I would recommend is the red one in the sort of series that I've been going through, which is called Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. Now, I've not read this one yet, but it's the one that I hear my friends talk about the most these last few days as being incredibly helpful for them.
Cool.
And so I think before we wrap up on this, Dr. Sproul would want us to say that he knew more than most of his sin, that he was a sinner and that he could not save himself, that he needed someone to save him, that he needed an alien righteousness because he had no righteousness of his own. And I think his hope was grounded in the doctrine of imputation, that my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, that Jesus Christ has canceled the record of debt that stood against us, and that the great exchange has taken place. My sin is given to Christ, and Christ's righteousness is given to me through faith. And that's why R.C. Sproul is in the presence of the Lord now, because he's not clothed in his own filthy robes, but Christ's imputed righteousness. Well, if you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack workspace. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com.
Hit us up on Twitter. We're at techreformation. Tweet us, DM us, whatever you want to do.
And head to our website at techreformation.com to look through our back catalog.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no.